This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week we take a trip to Austin, Texas. I was one of the auctioneers for the annual magic auction that is held there each year, in which they will auction off several thousands of dollars worth of things. In fact, this particular auction, it was kind of interesting. There was a large box of Houdini books that went for about $110. There are probably about 12, 15, maybe 18 books or so in there. After the person who purchased it went through them, they found that actually there was a signed book, that is a book that was signed by Houdini to his good friend Keller. Can you believe that? What a good deal that somebody got there. You never know what's going to be in the auction. That was great. And while I was in Austin, I had a chance to go by Johnny Magic's Theater of Illusion and Museum. Trixie Bond had taken me over there, and apparently this has been ongoing since December of 2013, and he has continued to grow in their fame and in their attendance. That they have close-up shows now on Friday nights and stage shows on Saturday nights. The museum is open then by appointment, and I had a chance to go by and take a look at that. But before we get into the podcast with Johnny Magic, I wanted to thank all of you again very much for listening to the MagicWordPodcast.com and also for supporting it. It is probably a good time for me to mention that if you have not pledged financial support to the MagicWordPodcast.com, I would certainly appreciate it, and that helps to defray our expenses and all of our production costs and things that we have to buy, like the microphones, the laptop, the domain, the server, the monthly fees that we have and everything then too. A one-time donation is perfectly acceptable. If you can make a monthly donation, then please do. You can visit us at patreon.com/themagicword. And that if you'll go to themagicwordpodcast.com, there'll be a place there that you can, it says, become a friend of the Magic Word, and you can click on that. That will give you more information. Again, you can donate through Patreon or through PayPal, and your donations are certainly appreciated and recognized as well, because there are some perks that the people will get who are friends of the Magic Word. Also, I want to thank the East Coast Mind Jam for sponsoring this podcast. Eric Citron, the organizer of the East Coast Mind Jam, is offering a special deal for listeners of the Magic Word. Right now, through April 30th, you can get $50 off the registration price. The East Coast Mind Jam will be on June 24th through the 26th in Somerset, New Jersey. For more information, you can go to eastcoastmindjam.com. And if you will send an email to 2016mindjam@gmail.com, with the subject line saying discount, he will send you an email registration form and an invoice with the $50 discount. And that's a great deal. Also, the next day after the Mind Jam is over on Monday, they're going to continue with the Magic Business University. It's a one-day deal on Monday, June 27th. More information on that is at magicbusinessuniversity.com. And there again, you can get half off the morning session. You can get that for only $20. So we're going to have $40 for the morning session, and then there'll be afternoon sessions that you'll pay extra for. But if you want to just attend the morning one, you get half price off that. And again, if you would send email to sales@magicbusinessuniversity.com with the word discount in the subject line, you will receive an invoice for that discount to register for the Magic Business University. So let's get into the podcast with John Wright, who goes by the name Johnny Magic, who actually opened his theater again back in December of 2013 along with the museum, and he's continuing to add more things all the time to this fabulous museum. Oh, by the way, I recommend that if you please do go to the website, you can actually see a video there that I made of kind of a tour of the museum. So many of the things that you hear about here in the podcast but can't quite visualize, you will see in the video that we put on themagicwordpodcast.com. So let me step out of the way and introduce Johnny Magic here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and I'm excited. I'm here in Austin, Texas with Johnny Magic. Hi there, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm just fantastic, yeah. And I am really excited to see your theater. It's called
I guess, Magic's
Theater and Museum.
Because there's a museum. There are things to see here, too. Yes, so absolutely. We're going to be going through this together, you, the listeners, along with us, so this way that you can feel my excitement as I'm sure we're going through this then, too. And I've got Trixie Vaughn with me. Hello, Trixie.
Hello there, Scott.
She has dual citizenship in Austin and in Houston, Texas.
Yes, indeed. We just got off of a big weekend from the Austin Magic Auction.
Right.
That's why you're in town in the Austin area.
That's right. Yeah, we had a lot of stuff. Probably had, I don't know, several thousands of dollars of stuff that was sold. You should have been there so you could have added things to your collection then, too, the giant.
Some good illusions as well. Some nice illusions.
Well, I've got a list. I've got my want list.
The things you want to buy.
Oh, my goodness.
You missed a good dollhouse. It was beautiful.
Really?
But I know while the auction was going on, you were also having several shows here at your theater.
Yes.
You have every weekend?
Friday and Saturday. Friday's a close-up show.
Okay. And you were saying what? Did you have a show?
Well, Saturday we had. Had to perform two performances because we had so many people. The first show was a sellout, and then we had another 30 people show up, so we had to reset the show and perform a whole nother show.
And you seat how many?
Like 80.
Okay.
80 people.
So is it more of a parlor type of show or close-up?
No.
Up
you
look
can
at
see
this,
right
Scott.
Okay. Right behind you.
It's a beautiful theater.
Oh, wow.
Stage curtains.
Okay.
It's the real
deal. We actually can seat 100 seats in here.
Okay, yeah. So they're all removable seats, and you can.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so we change it around, you know. And the museum kind of starts in here. This was Doug Henning's Metamorphosis box I bought in auction.
It was a Potter and Potter auction? Or
no, this was a Butterfield in Hollywood.
In Hollywood. I remember when they had that.
And it was about, 2006 maybe?
It was not too long after he died.
Yeah. Around maybe 2005.
Now, when you say, what's the provenance of this? I mean, did you use it on television, on tour, or both, or do you know?
I don't know, but what I think it was, there was a Houdini Museum in Hollywood.
Yeah.
A small one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they did was, I think they got this Metamorphosis box from Abbott's. And then if you see in the other room, we have Doug Henning's jacket and a mask that he wore. So what I think they did was they put Doug in there standing up with the mask as a display.
Mm-hmm.
But that actually being Doug Henning's Metamorphosis, the only thing that I can claim that it is from the brochure of Butterfield Auction. They
okay.
say it was Doug Henning's Metamorphosis. Now, I don't know what your background is as far as who people are, but there's a lady's signature on it. Right there, I think it's Ruth Landau, and I don't know who she is, but that's written on there. And
let me see if I got my map or my. Oh, there it is.
See that?
Ruth Landau, sure do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does anybody know Ruth Landau?
Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Me either.
No. You know, I tell you who might know, it'd be Chip Romero. Chip Romero is the guy that is a collector of. Doug Henning memorabilia.
Yeah, let's go this way. We can.
Okay.
We can go this way. This is kind of how we start the tour.
All right. The Sylvan.
I try to put up people that I was inspired by: Sylvan, T. Nelson Downs, mm-hmm. Fred Capps, Richard Ross, and this is an original signed picture. I couldn't find the right frame, but the signature is under there, even though I had to put the signature.
Of Sylvan?
Mm-hmm.
I met him at the FISM this year. Yeah.
I hear he's a rock star.
Oh, my goodness.
Everywhere
he walks. Yeah. He really is.
Ricardo Montalban or something like that. Okay, and then like this, let's see. This is I bought a T. Nelson Down book, and inside the first cover was this postcard that he would draw. It's a caricature, and it's signed by T. Nelson Downs, but it's faded so you can't see, but it's still actually him holding coins. It's like he would draw it, hand-draw it, and then send it.
So that was actually a drawing?
A postcard, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And then these are his coins. That's his card. That's his business card.
And when you say coins, that were you actually used on manipulation stage?
No, I think these are coins that he sold in magic shops.
Mm-hmm.
They're smaller than a half dollar, and they're real thin. They're probably the first palming coin created for magic.
Okay.
And you can see them online every now and then. They come up for like $12, $15 a
piece.
They're
not mega uber expensive.
No, they're not. And here is a picture Arsène Dupin gave me of...
Arsene's a great magician, by the way.
Yes, without a doubt. Of T. Nelson Downs and Houdini standing behind Downs there.
which is a great piece.
Yeah, and now, behind us, what we got here?
When kids come in, they love this right here. That
wow, that is really cool. It looks like that's actually, yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm going to have to take a little video of that post.
I just stuck a stack of silver dollars on top of it.
Speaking of Arsene, that Arsene Lupin came in. Hi there, Arsene.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
And then this is levitating water. This is actually water drops. And they float up and down in that cabinet. Mm-hmm. Just something different. Catch the kids' eyes. They want to grab the water when the kids come in.
They want to reach right in and grab it. Yeah.
Now, this goes back to my studio days.
Are these screens anything in particular, or are they just for
no,
decoration?
No, just decoration. I have a set of rice checkers and grapefruit that Les Smith of OM Magic made, mm-hmm. and I performed them in my show, and I bought those screens for a backdrop.
Well, you know that the auction is coming up soon for the last of Le Grand David's props, his auction of his costumes, props, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be the last of his stuff finally being sold. They're putting together a catalog soon. I think it's not Potter and Potter. Somebody else, I think, is handling it.
All right. I'd like to see that.
You should. I mean, with the stuff you got here, you can add to it.
Yes. Now, when I was in 1980, I was working at Warner Brothers Studios on a TV show called Fantasy Island. And I was the craft serviceman, and Ray Bolger came on the show, and there's me with hair.
Yeah.
And Ray Bolger, and that was taken in like 1980.
Yeah, you have that Jack Goldfinger look now.
Yeah.
And that voice, there you go. Now, this is amazing, a traveling magician, because there are only about 75 or so of these,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think there's a list. There's a list that I know there's about 50 on the list.
Okay, then.
And who's has them. And, it took me about 5 years to find that one.
Wow.
There's a gentleman in New York City who's second generation, and what they do is they restore the Rogers groups. Mm-hmm. So John Rogers made mm-hmm. probably 80 different groups. And there were rural, there were political scenes, and this is one of the most popular and the most expensive of all of them because the theme, it's a magician.
Right.
And people don't know that John Rogers posed for the magician in that. And that's his daughter. She posed for that.
Hmm.
And what I love about it, and I tell people all the time, is I think he captured something, and I don't know, he was so wise to capture the father and son's expression,
sure.
The father is sweating. He's got a handkerchief. He's just like, he's trying to die to figure out how it works. And then the little boy doesn't care. He's just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And as a magician, you know, those are the two expressions
exactly.
We get. How does it work? Or I don't care how it works. I just love magic.
And then the magician's child, sound asleep and bored.
Yes. And what she would do would beat on the tambourine all day and collect the 25 cents. And this depicts the end of the day.
Yeah.
She's dead tired and the father's still going. Now, the other thing that we can't figure out was the things he pulls out of the hat. There's a loaf of bread, there's a wig, and there's a pistol. God. So I guess to have a nice wig would have been a big deal in those days.
Sure.
It had some value to it, and a loaf of bread showed, you know, if you were hungry, here's a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a great piece. Great piece. And that's 133 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Arsene's pointing out.
Yeah.
In the back, there's
so
a man holding a dove, and whoever his assistant is in the back is handing him the next thing he's going to pull out of the hat.
I see. Under the table there.
Yeah. See the little dove and the hand right there?
Yeah.
And that's... So Rogers was pretty clever. He got everything in that one statue. He pretty much captured all.
And again,
of
the traveling magician, 1877 was the time that's supposed to have been. Okay.
And now the next one is Fred Capps. There's not a lot of Fred Capps things. His box with his coin manipulation mm-hmm. sold on auction for $10,000.
So where is it here?
Well, I think Copperfield probably got it. Think about it. Copperfield probably got it. But Fred was a huge influence to me. When I saw Fred Capps and Richard Ross, that's how I was inspired to
do
magic.
Had you met him?
No.
Personally then?
No.
I came just that close from getting to see him, I guess, live one time whenever he was going to be the guest of honor for the Las Vegas Desert Seminar that Joe Stevens was putting on. And I had registration already to go and see him that year, and I think that's when he took cancer and couldn't make it, and he was dead within the next year or two, I believe. So I never got a chance to see
him. I didn't, you know. He was one of the greats.
Oh, no question.
Now, let's see. Okito Dean Dill, great magician, great friend of mine, passed away a year ago. Mm-hmm. And this was a Nilsson Okito box that Dean and Nilsson put together.
I was about to say that this looks actually more like the Dean's box.
It's Dean's box, okay, but Norm Nilsson Okito'd it.
And we had one of those at the auction.
We had one, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We saw one of the, not this one, not the Okito.
Dean
it's a Dean box.
Oh,
okay. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So he made, I talked to Loopy and, she wasn't sure. He made probably 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And they're gone. They sold in a month.
Sure.
A couple of days. Yeah. Okay. This original Okito. This was the Dixon Okito, not Theo. Signed in 47, 48. So this is the plumber that bought the act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And now we're getting into the Houdini part.
Yeah, okay. Houdini. Now, the original Houdini is this 8x10 here. This is the original 1924 Houdini. The only thing, I knew it when I bought it, the signature is a forgery.
Mm-hmm.
And
how do you know whether that it is or not?
Well, I've looked. The person I bought it from told me it was a forgery. He knew it wasn't Houdini's signature. But I've looked at Houdini's signature thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I see it if it's original.
I wish you would have been at the auction then on Saturday. And I say that because one of the things that we had sold was a box of Houdini books. There are probably about 20 books inside this box. Basically, it was sealed with the saran wrap. And anyhow, we took them out and looked at a few of these, and all the books together went for like $110. Well, the person who purchased it was going through and found one that was actually signed by Houdini. Was it like Two Thurston or something? What was it?
Yeah. Signed by Houdini.
See, that makes that book. That makes that book. Starting price $1,000.
Yeah. Yes, and fortunately it was Ron Cartledge who collects Houdini memorabilia.
So he knew.
Yeah. So he verified that it really was his. Okay, so then he knew,
because he wouldn't have bought it.
I think he
but
knew something. The rest of us
10 bucks for $100. Yeah. That's a good
oh my goodness! Yeah.
Now here's a signature of Beth. She she started to sign her name Mrs. Houdini after Mrs. Harry Houdini. So that's how she signed everything. Now the signature here is authentic. The picture is not.
Mm-hmm.
Now they say one way to know a forgery of Houdini is he never just signed Houdini. He always would say, you know, best wishes or magically yours, or he would add something to it. So when you see a signature just says Houdini, chances are that might be a forgery.
Now I understand he also used to sign receipts when he was working at the magic shop, and he would put his name on the receipt to hand those out. Did he also do the same thing, saying magically?
Yeah, I haven't seen any receipts.
You've heard of that, though?
No? I haven't. Okay. Not the receipt part. Mm-hmm. You know, but so let's see. These are he was the handcuff king, and then he was the card king of cards.
Right.
So I saw a little video of his card manipulation. You know, he was doing the standard card stuff. What I could see in it. And then, let's see, behind you is a replica of the milk can and the Chinese water tartar cell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
who had built these for you?
There's a local metal shop put this together for me, and I subbed this out, and I put this together myself.
Okay.
That took me a few months to do.
I mean, I know since you were working in Hollywood, and what you did before was you were a caterer then for the movie studios and things like that. And so I thought perhaps you might have had some contact with the people who were
building. Well, I was here. The thing is, I was here in Austin and not in L.A. If I was in L.A., it would have been a different story. But there's a lot of craft artists and people in Austin, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's great.
And how about the straitjacket?
I found it. It resembled close to Houdini's without all the hardware, the rivets. You know, Houdini's had a lot of rivets on it, but the collar was similar and, $125.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the cheapest things in here, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, And then the Blackstone family, you know, we have, this is original Blackstone Senior, we have Blackstone Junior,
and photographs,
this is a,
yeah.
Photographs, and this is a great picture of Harry Senior floating the light bulb in the audience. And he would take it out in the audience and then let a audience member just actually hold it, and then he would immediately float it again. And then Harry Junior took over the act, and, you know, he's a great magician.
I see you have Bill Bixby as a magician.
Another inspiration.
Sure.
Here, what is this, 73, 74? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill.
Lived in the Magic Castle, according
to the Magic Castle.
Drove the cool car. Spirit, I think, was his license plate.
I just
plate.
Sold my Corvette.
Oh, but you...
Okay, so...
Did you have Spirit
and
also?
I live here in my theater. So that's telling you the impression he left on me.
Oh, my.
I thought you needed your own theater and you lived there and a Corvette.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't get was the jet plane.
Yes, right. He
had
a
jet plane. Yeah. And he put his vet in the plane and they'd fly. And I'm not a detective, so... Yeah, Bill. Yeah.
Did you ever meet Bill Bixby?
No, okay. I didn't. You know, when I started, I was at Warner Brothers, and I don't know what lot he was at. I think he was at Paramount, but I was at Warner Brothers. And when I was at Warner Brothers, we had Tony Curtis, Kurt Douglas. There was Sidney Poitier on the lot. Bill Cosby was on the lot. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Hollywood's changed. It's not that anymore.
No.
It's all the studios have become rental facilities. So if you're going to make a movie, you just go there and you rent the sound stages and you make your movie. Mm-hmm. Well, in the old days, I started in 72. Warner Brothers made Warner Brothers movies. Paramount made Paramount movies. MGM made MGM movies. And Universal made Universal movies. And they didn't bounce around,
sure.
And you couldn't go
and
to
And they were under contract also,
yes,
with those 2 years.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So, but I saw a little glimpse of the old, what it was, the glory days.
Glory days.
Yes.
You were on the tail end of that. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, think about walking and Tony Curtis walks by Kurt Douglas on the lot.
Yeah.
It was like.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
They're just at work.
Yeah. I mean, I used to pinch myself that I had a job there.
And how young were you at the time?
I was right out of high school. I was like 19.
And you recognize who those guys were. So
oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
I was talking to a director not too long ago, and we were talking how there's no movie stars today. Mm-hmm. And in the old days, there were movie stars. The first movie I worked on, Jimmy Stewart was the actor.
There's a movie star.
I mean, think about it. I mean, I work with Tom Hanks. He's like, they always say he's the modern Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but... let's see, what else? Now, you can peek behind here. This is something we do every week, and it's the illusion with the hand. Now, Floyd Thayer built one of these, and he took it to the Seattle World's Fair in 71. And I think that's the first time people saw this, and he blew their minds at the fair. And
can you describe this for listeners?
Yeah, what you're looking at is it's a cabinet, if you were here, with a gold 6-inch pole running from halfway to the top. And during its performance, there's a living hand that protrudes out of the pole. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no way an arm could bend through there and manipulate its way. And it's truly magical. When I open it up, how I describe it is it's our contribution to Austin to keep Austin weird.
Because that certainly is. A strange hand.
Yeah. But keep the wheels turning. There's these books that Owen Magic put out. It's Keep the Wheels Turning. Mm-hmm. One book has the blueprints, and one has the history of Owen Brothers and Floyd Thayer and Carl Owen. The plans are in that book that I took that out of. All right, I showed you earlier the Metamorphosis box. When
yes.
I opened that box when I got home, that jacket and that mask and head was in the Metamorphosis box.
Hmm. And well, that is an exact replica of Doug Henning, my goodness, even up close.
Huh. Well, you know, I was working on a movie with Rick Baker, the special effects makeup artist, and he restored it for me. Those eyes in there are $600 eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, those are the ones they put in the real life.
Mm-hmm. Like wax figures?
Yes, mm-hmm. They do.
Like Madame Tussauds or something. Now, these, like the Vernon cups?
Those are Brett Sherwood cups. Brett commissioned for the Di Vernon estate, and they made 1,000 sets. This is set 179, and they're sterling silver, hand-carved, and
etched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, etched. A beautiful set. Beautiful set. I've taken them out and kind of held them a little bit, but that's it. I put
and then polish them and put them back.
Yeah. And these are original posters, Doug Henning's poster. This is like the second one. I own the original. It was like $10 when I bought it originally at Hollywood Magic,
same thing.
Yeah.
And the other one over here with the Houdini water torture, which is the one from his first live TV show that he did. I remember when Lee Jacobs was selling that in the Linking Ring magazine, and he would have the ads. Originally sold for like $25, and then for long went up to $50. And then when it finally went to $100, I thought, you know, I ought to buy that myself for an investment. So I've got one of those hanging at home as well.
I think they're around $400 to find that one. Okay. This poster starts around $100 to $200. That one... I've never seen that one under 400.
Yeah, the two we're talking about, again, for the listeners, the one we're looking at on the left would be the one that says Doug Henning, Illusion or Reality, where he is floating a flower, rose, orchid, or something looks like inside of a crystal ball. And the other one is where he's inside of a water torture escape. Looks kind of like Max, my mind went blank, kind of abstract. Come on. Try to think of the fellow who... Who's the artist? Peter Max. That's right. Thank you very much, Trixie. Peter Max. I'm trying to think of
a
look.
That's it. He probably did do the artwork for it.
Okay.
Now over here, let's see. Here again, Dean Dill. Mm-hmm. I was in Dean's shop, and he had one of these.
You weren't obviously getting a haircut there, were you?
No. Okay. But I'll tell you, every time I went, he would say something about my hair. You know, he would say something.
He cut my hair a few times. I have him on the podcast.
And really?
He had my picture hanging on his wall, too.
Well, you know how great a guy
he was.
Well,
he really was.
But he had this hanging in the barbershop, and he said, you know, I have two of them, and one's behind my bookshelf in my office. It fell down behind there. Well, it was a 7-foot bookcase full of books. He said, if you take those books out and get the poster, you can have it.
And
well,
you
I spent like 2 hours moving the books to get the poster.
Worth it.
And then he signed it for me.
How neat.
And then they had his estate sale at Hocus Pocus.
Yep.
I got this is his Magic Castle caricature from the Magic Castle.
Yep.
And then that Di Vernon was in the Dean shop. And then that Houdini sign was in Dean's
shop. I was going to say that I remember being in his shop. That big metal sign.
Shop. So I got that. Named the bar after Dean's bar.
Yeah.
And painted the counter red.
Just like his shop.
Favorite.
Bright red. Yeah. And I see you got our favorite Ali down here.
Yeah, Ali Bongo. Yeah. I do the pom-pom every week in the show. And, you know, it gets different reactions.
Yeah. I'll have to send you. I've got a picture. It's a black and white, actually, that Ali and I had done. That was actually a photo that's in the Magic Circle restroom, where it looks like two guys are at a urinal with their backs turned. Mm-hmm. And then when you see the second picture, they have playing cards in their hand. They're kind of looking at the cards, you know, from the front, holding a fan. Okay,
Frank Brentz.
From New York City?
New York. This poster was, I saw it in the Magic Castle for many years.
Yeah.
I got my first membership at the Magic Castle in, 1980. I became a member at the castle.
Mm-hmm. You still maintain your membership?
I'm living here now.
Yeah,
but I've kept it for so many years. I performed in the Palace of Mystery for about 6 years, 1 week. About six years I did the Palace. And
Frank Brandt's show was really good with the duck production. And I remember seeing video that was the exact same. I mean, his timing, his music, and I mean, for 30, 40 years or whatever.
And I can't imagine traveling with the ducks and all that, you know.
America's Black Magician.
There's not even bird acts anymore.
That's true. That's very true.
Nobody has a bird act. Then we have Johnny Gone Origami.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really on display. This isn't
on display. It's part of a museum. And here's another photo of Janet Lee. I worked with her. She did an episode of Fantasy Island again. A lot of celebrities came through there.
Yeah, I remember the show.
And she signed that to me, and I thought that was great. You know,
I didn't really associate her to Houdini at the time, but I knew who she was, you know. And there's her buddy. Don't forget Jack, our buddy.
Yep, Jack Oldfinger.
All
yep.
right, and there.
And Dove, yep.
Larry Wilson had this competition years back, the Larry Wilson, and this was taken at the competition.
In Reno? Or where
No, it was in L.A., and they had performers perform at like four different venues at the same time over a period of like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then they narrowed it down to whoever won. I don't know, James DeMere might have won that year. And then Michael Vincent from England.
I love Michael.
Yeah. Like I saw Michael perform at Dean's close up. You know, I'm on the freeway and Dean calls me and says, you got to get over here right now. And I'm like 50 miles away from his shop. And I said, Dean calls and tells me I got to be at his shop. I got to go.
Something's happening.
Yeah. U-turn and I drove to his shop and I walk in. Michael Vincent's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down and for Dean and I personally, he did like a half hour of his cards. And it was too good.
I had him come through for a lecture in Houston. And we didn't have a place for him to lecture, so he came to my house. So we set up a table in front of the fireplace over there and turned the chairs around, and he was my guest and my home, and he did his whole show at a lecture.
Well, you know, there you go. You got the thing. Well, let's come over here. This is something new. Trixie hadn't seen this because it wasn't working at the time, but this is our new close-up room that we have a close-up parlor. So we opened this up, and Arson and I performed Friday, and we had our close-up show in here on Friday. It seats 21 people.
This looks like the little theater at Magic Island.
It does, kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in here we have original 1924 Carter, Vanishing the Elephant. And
that's an 8-sheeter, I think, isn't it? Or is that called a 4-sheeter or an 8-sheeter? I think it's a 4-sheeter.
No, it's more than 4. It's,
maybe it is an 8-sheeter.
I think it's probably like 6, maybe. 6. So you can come and go through the back there.
Now, how long are the close-up shows?
Oh, if I do them myself, I try to do about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. If we have two performers, we do a half hour each, so they get an hour.
Okay.
And that's Friday. And then Saturday, we do the big theater show.
Now, how long has this been open?
I put the table in here and got the carpet down. I don't know, probably about 3 months.
I was going to say that you still haven't put wallpaper.
Yeah, we got to finish the drywall in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is, they can't see this on there, but.
Yeah, the money. Yeah, just kind of rubbing your fingers together like you got need some more cash. Get some more people in and, and if you keep having the sellout shows you've been having. Hey, you got Sammy Davis Jr.'s picture in here too, though.
Yeah, I worked with Sammy.
Yeah.
I worked a few times with Sammy. Yeah.
Where? At the Sands? And
no,
Vegas,
no, not as a magician. Still, he would do a lot of television. So this is, again, Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
But then Irwin Allen, who did the disaster movies, he did a series, Alice in the Wonderland, and, and Sammy came and performed on that.
This guy looks familiar, and I can't think of his name.
Mr. Electric.
No, that's not Mr. Electric, is it?
Yeah.
Golly, Marvin, that's a young picture. It does not look like him. Because with a fez, I didn't remember him doing...
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Threw me. Wow.
Gorgeous picture of him. Now, Cardini, these are original Cardinis. Now, this was in Channing Pollock's house.
Mm-hmm.
And,
had the Poto cards.
Yeah, and they had the cards. And then that's Cardini's business card in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a plaque awarded to Cardini in 59.
You need to have Randy Pitchford come and take a look at this. I just did a podcast with him a couple of weeks ago, in fact, yes. What a nice gentleman, really great guy. You know, who is a nephew of Richard Pitchford.
Yeah,
Cardini.
Kids love this. This is the
illusion.
One of the great hologram.
Yeah. It's just right there. I can pick it up.
Yeah,
it's right there. You see, this what we're looking at is it's a three dimensional kind of a pan, I guess you will. You've seen these in the magic shops. So it'll be a quarter or something in the bottom of the thing, and you want to, and it's lit such that it looks like it's just floating on top, and you can pick it up. You got Walter Blaney's picture.
Oh,
there too.
Walter! Walter started me in magic.
Tell me that story.
I was about 19 years old.
and I was watching TV, and Walter was on like Merv Griffin's show, mm-hmm. and he performed his ladder levitation. And it just floored me. I had to find out how that thing worked.
And did you buy one eventually?
Yeah, we have it in our show. About 15 years ago, I bought one from Walter. Mm-hmm. And I bought the last series of them that he built, that last six. He would build six a year.
I think I was in that six because I had one also.
I got the last six. And the fact that seeing him motivated me to do magic, and then I have my own theater, and then I have the ladder in the theater is like, quite amazing.
And his hoop also, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I was going to say, because actually, again, at the auction this weekend, that we had one of those great white hoops, I think, sold for, what, $350 or something? It was amazingly cheap.
That's a good price. It's there $500, $600.
When I
bought the ladder and the cases and then the hoop from Walter was...
Like $12,000, $14,000?
It was like $14,000.
That's what it was, right. Yeah, including the packing crates and the whole shooting match.
I think I'm still making payments.
No.
It's like a car payment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny you mention that because, long story short, I ended up selling mine to a guy in Florida. And I said to Walter, well, if I'm going to have you make another one for me, how much more? And he said, it'll be another $4,000 on whatever that you'd paid the 14 before. So I, got 18 from that guy, and I put that money as a down payment on a Jaguar. Yeah. So I got a new car, speaking of cars. You got a picture then of Harlan Tarbell?
Tarbell. Too? Yeah, that's a signed one. Probably found it on eBay or something. And, when you first get started, you want to get the
Tarbell set, which you've got floating on the wall there.
Yeah, the Tarbell set. And in those days, you only had 7 volumes. And then that last 8th volume they compiled together a little later.
And then they also did a gospel version, I believe, of gospel applications at Tarbell or something.
Yeah, I would love to have that. I don't know about that one. Mm-hmm. I would love to have that. Yeah. So let's see. Pretty much, this is...
So how many square feet do you have here, Johnny?
The building, the theater's like 5,000 square feet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the theater itself looks like it takes up
about 100 seats or more. We could probably get 100. We could get probably 100. Yeah, the stage alone is 1,000 square feet.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, come on. Let's walk backstage and show you the stage.
Quite a collection. And so the moths look like mascot moths or something? What's on the wall?
For decoration? I saw those butterflies and I just, I had to have them.
So complete. There's Walter's ladder levitation. You already all got it all set up and displayed multiplying bottles and all that.
This is from the elevator. Finishing from our show on Saturday, our second show from Saturday.
Now, who typically performs? Do you have different people that you rotate in and out? Or?
Arson is working the close up room, mm-hmm. Dupin, and we had Brad Henderson a couple of weeks ago do mm-hmm. close up in there. So we're lining up some local talent to work in the theater. So right now, I'm the only performer on stage doing the Stage Illusion show. Mm-hmm. But eventually, we want to phase in some other performers.
He does it with his family. I mean, he's got his son, his daughter, his wife. It's a family affair. It's unusual. Nobody does that any longer.
No, that's very true. Yeah. And you have a lot of wing space here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, more so than the castle. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the lot. It's an acre and a half, and I had a company put the steel building up. The building's 6,000 square feet with 24-foot high ceilings, mm-hmm. which the guy was trying to talk me out of. It's funny. He's like, that's really high. And I said, no, I need them high. And then I started on this end of the building, and I start working that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I sat on the phone with Puck, Malcolm, back and forth to try to determine the height of the stage because, I didn't know if I was going to do traps underneath. I didn't know how it was. And I think it's 18 inches. So how I calculated the height was with a crystal casket. Mm-hmm. So I had the crystal casket at the 18 inches high and I was sitting in the seat and it placed it at that perfect eye position where it looked paper thin.
Right.
And that's how I came up with the height of the stage.
And you have no trap?
No.
Okay.
No. The new magic is on, everything's raised. You know, Dakota right. chairs don't go in stages anymore. Mm-hmm, what they do is they're on platforms.
Right.
And flyaway steps
right.
and stuff.
Deceptive steps and all that, yeah.
So I almost did it. I almost put a pit underneath. You know, the contractor was, you know, oh, I can do whatever you want. You want this. And
now the wood floor you got, is this laminate or hardwood or what?
Yeah, we've got a subfloor of like 3/4 inch flooring, and then we have a padding, and then we have this. My daughter and I laid this floor in about a week. Mm-hmm. Heather, she and I started putting this floor down.
And I say, do you have the lights, like a twinkle lights in the background over there?
Yeah, the light, a star curtain.
Star curtain, yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
The Ezra.
Oh, yeah, you got an Ezra? I mean, you got, wow, it's pretty.
We sold an Ezra at the auction.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Arson wanted to buy it.
Yeah, I can't make it. But yeah, it was well made. No, I didn't get it. No.
Okay.
But this is, you know, that was used to be David Copperfield's entrance in the elevator, you know?
I remember the elevator,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So that was his?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know if it was his, but that was one of Copperfield's illusions.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, one of the first coming backstage. Usually nobody is allowed here. Yeah.
So you, my listeners, are getting in a very rare treat also.
Yeah.
Now,
Alice through the Looking Glass.
I must give Owen Magic a lot of credit, Alan Zagorski, because my show, I probably have 5 illusions from Owen Magic, which is a big part of my show. I mean, I had a homemade zigzag for years and years.
And, looks like you still have a zigzag here.
And Les Smith built this one.
Say Les Smith built this?
Yeah. Yeah, Les Smith built this one. So to me, this is the
Rolls Royce. I was going to say, if you had
Royce,
built... Yeah.
That's a Rolls Royce of zigzags right there.
Yes.
And
What size woman is this built for?
My wife is 5'7", and she fits fine.
Okay.
So
did you have it built for her height?
No, it was just one he had in the shop, and
just so happened to fit her,
and it just happened. But this is like the last one he had. This was in their showroom for years and years,
mm-hmm.
and
so you got a good deal.
I kind of talked Alan into letting me have it, and then the Rice and Checkers—they're not in there performing. This is the finales, but Les Smith turned these.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
And this is a great trick. So, Owen Magic, Owen Magic, Owen Magic. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of Owen Magic, that they had made a really nice vanishing birdcage that Walter Blaney had used for a long time and had recommended, but for some reason I guess they changed or they didn't make them the same way. So, Walter's trying to have somebody make another one. He's working on a book on the vanishing bird cage and mm-hmm. and the method he uses for reproducing the cage and everything.
Yeah, so. James Reiser, he makes a good cage. If mm-hmm. you can get one from James, he's kind of finicky about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got one of his cages, but I had to give him my resume and background, mm-hmm. who I was, and he still wouldn't sell me one.
Mm.
And I ended up getting one from Rudy Sanchez that had one. And it's a smaller version than the Owens, so it's more practical. If you know Walter Blaney, the guy's, what, 6'5"?
Yes.
6'9".
I was going to say 6'7". Is it 6'9"?
Okay, so imagine him vanishing the birdcage.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of room because his arms, he's
right.
so tall. Well, the average person, they don't have that arm
yeah.
length, so... Rudy made this smaller version. I tried to talk Alan to make a smaller one, but he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of the close-up room in there and the pictures also, you had like of Dean Dill. Are you going to start putting some caricature drawings of people who are appearing in there eventually on the walls?
You know, I'm not a cartoonist like that. I paint landscapes and seascapes and mm-hmm. stuff. But, yeah, I think we could do that. I mean, if we just put their 8x10, it'd be great.
Yeah,
insert.
Start to fill the walls in there with
that. Yeah, and I won't have to pay a guy to do the drywall. I'll just cover it all up.
That's
kind
of what I was thinking. You see, you just cover it like that. Exactly. Oh, this is great. Now, the ceiling I see is unfinished. Is that kind of the plan still, or are you going to have a drop ceiling?
When I originally built the building, mm-hmm. the footprint of the building is 6,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
That white and black line is this 30... It's 3,000 square feet, and from the white going that way was 3,000 square feet. So my original plan was half of the building would be the theater, the other 3,000 would be my home.
Are you going to live here, just like the magician, like Bill Bixby?
Yeah, I live here. Yeah. I do live here.
So where's your place? I mean,
it's here, hiding behind the trap door.
Okay.
And what happened was I slowly start taking the theater, the house part, to add to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it goes all the way back. It's still the museum.
I see. So, again, as far as the ceiling goes, are you going to have like a drop ceiling, something here, or something you can maybe use as storage eventually? Or?
No, you know what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to put a floor up here, and I'm going to start putting illusions up there for the museum portion of it. Because you run out of space. There was a Lion's Bride on Magic Auction, incredible price. I mean, it was like $3,000 or more, and I would love to have that in here. So. Mm-hmm. I'd have to hang it from the ceiling, you know,
right,
to put it in here. So we're constantly trying to think up.
So on the spot, I see what you have of that. Is that an intelligent lighting that you can kind of move
that's
around?
That's a follow spot. My son Eric runs that.
Okay.
And that's up there. I built that little. And then one day I came and said, I need a place to put a follow spot. And the next morning I had that up built.
Okay. You know, over the doorway there.
Mm-hmm. Right through the doorway. And it worked.
Very neat. Anything else here that I noticed out front, by the way, that I took some photos of your statuary, some of the ironworks and everything.
Yeah,
Who did that for you?
I had a guy named Chris Small here, has a little shop in town, and what he did was we built that totem, and I gave him a silk top hat, and he made a mold out of it, which destroyed a $100 top hat.
Mm-hmm.
But
seemed like a good idea at the time.
And then my daughter drew that girl.
Yeah.
And then we took it to a place that laser cut it out of steel.
Yeah.
And we put it together.
Hmm.
And then that fountain is a close-up table with cups and balls.
Mm-hmm.
And so it worked out.
What was the other thing with the chain and the ball?
It just worked. He had that sitting there in his shop, and I said, wow, that's perfect. And we added the chain on the back. And it's just a balancing artwork, yard artwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Yeah. It kind of worked.
What's your long-term goal? What are you planning on doing with this?
Or? Selling this all to Arson.
Does he know it? Shh, don't tell him.
And buying me a place on the lake.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you're promoting this a lot. You said that you had some sold-out shows, and that this, to me, seems kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's off the beaten track, and it's down a long road,
well,
3 miles out of the country.
Well, we have a brewery. We have one a beer brewery next to us. We have a stunt ranch. We have Jesse James, the motorcycle builder. He's next door to us. There's probably three or four wineries on Fitzhugh Road.
On this main track.
So this place is becoming this eclectic draw area. There's a little pizza place now. This came up right here on the road. So people are finding it's kind of word of mouth, you know? And then.
So you're not advertising, promoting anything?
Yeah, we're advertising. I've been in many, you know, I spent a lot of money on newspaper ads. We did the local TV show, which is called We Are Austin, the morning show. We went on there and we were on there two times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's a big part of it. Advertising. Now on 290, the main highway there, we have a state sign that's Magic's Theater and Museum, which has helped a lot because a lot of traffic sees those signs.
Sure.
And I already had calls this morning for Friday's close-up show. So people are calling.
Now, I know that Joe Gibbon and Carol do the Theater of Dreams in Castle Rock, Colorado. And in that case, that they...
Who's that?
That looks like a picture of Puck up there. And at the top, that's Trixie Bond's pictures you got framed.
I had no idea.
Yeah, Trixie's picture's in the museum here now, too.
Her
cover on Magic. What year was that? 2007? 2004.
I mean, to get on the cover of Magic Magazine is the dream of every living magician. Are you in the cover? You're in the cover.
No, I haven't been in the cover. I'm a contributor, actually.
You're one
of the editors.
Oh, okay. So maybe we can get it. I want to be on the cover. I don't want to be in it. But that's a great honor. That's the Academy Award of Magic.
Yeah.
You know?
You've made it.
Right? That's the Academy Award of Marriage. That's a high. Now, my greatest, reward is just let's see.
Yep. The Ted Solder picture.
He's a mass magician.
Yep. I worked with him at the Magic Island some years ago. This book.
Zimmerman, I remember him and Diana. We sold.
There you are, John.
John, let me see your picture.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a silent act with the zombie ball.
What we're showing over here, this is the Magic Castle
caricature. Yeah, the Wall of Fame book.
This came out before Ted had done mine. I've got the picture of him that he did of me also. That my my thing is magic water from Zanzibar. I've got a loadable, and so he had a picture of me. A loadable.
So this is my claim to fame. I was the third Afro American at the castle to ever perform there.
Hmm.
Jack was the first.
Yeah.
And there's another guy. I forget who the second was. And then Victor and Diamond were after me. And, but yeah, that's my claim.
What year was that? That you performed there?
82 here. See? Okay. 82.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if this was the second time second year or the first year. I know. I think it was the first year. Cause the first year this was an honor they gave you if you did a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then it was in the castle for years and years. I don't know if it's still there.
They don't. I understand now that they just put up photos, these old photos of Ted Wright or Ted Salters, of those who have won an award. If you have been an Academy winner, then they put them up because there's so many of us that are here. They were rotating for the longest time. Yeah. They would kind of put you up, then me up, or, you know, whoever up, you know, from time to time. So, anyhow, I was off on a question. What was I asking you? I'd forgotten, then Trixie showed us her picture.
Yeah,
I got sidetracked here.
She signed it for me, too. So.
Yeah, you should take that down and sign it.
Where's there?
Oh, we're talking about your...
I'll come back with a silver pen.
You have one? Oh.
At home. Oh, not on me.
No, I have one, but I just don't know if it's... If it's I don't want it to be like a marker.
We're going to pause here for just a moment.
Oh, I kind of put this back here. People go to the bathroom, and these are just some of the actors I worked with. Robert Duvall and Morgan Freeman. And look, Milton Berle.
Yeah.
All right. My Milton Berle story is this. Milton could force a card, any card. So he would come over to me and say, John, 5 of clubs. All right. And I just remember it. And he'd go over and force a card to somebody. And he'd say, you know what, go ask John Magic what the card is. And I'd be busy over here, and somebody said, Milton said you knew my card. And I'd say, we'd do the thing. They'd say, all right, think of your card. And I'd tell him, and it would kill him. And we did that like for 3 days, all day long for 3 days to the crew, Milton Berle and I doing magic.
Was that like on the television?
That was on a Fantasy Island episode. Same thing. Here I go back there.
Yeah.
Here's Dickie Smother. Yeah. I'm teaching him some, we were playing around with coins. And so
it's interesting. As I recall that Harry Blackstone Jr. was one of the writers for the Smothers Brothers show.
No, he probably was. He probably was.
No, so I know that they liked magic.
Here's we did a movie with Steve Martin, and then I always threw my cards in there. You know. And then let's see, Mel Gibson. I was teaching Mel when the director Richard Donner found out that I did magic. He immediately wanted me to teach Mel card tricks or card handling.
Yeah.
So when he had the cards on picture, he looked like he
again. That was for the movie Maverick.
Yeah. Now they had a pokerologist, I guess you would call Gary Frank. He's a member and performer at the Magic Castle for many years. Good friend of mine, and Gary was on there just dealing with the poker game and playing the game like it was originally played in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. Let's see. Here's me and Tom Hanks. This is the movie Castaway. We were in northern Texas, and I'm giving Tom his birthday cake.
Okay.
And that's Robert Zemeckis, director, in the middle. George C. Scott, Patton.
Yeah.
Okay. And Andy Griffith, Michael Jordan, Space Jam. So just a few. Funniest guy, Jonathan Winters.
Mm-hmm.
Did a few things with Jonathan.
I remember now. I was going to ask you, I was saying how that... Joe Given and his theater, Dreams, up in Castle Rock, has it open for corporate performances. And so he will rent out his theater. Do you do that also?
Yeah, we do. We've had ballet recitals. No. And we've had school plays. Mm-hmm. And we actually do wonderful doing the school plays because mm-hmm. all the parents and sure. grandparents and the kids come.
Yeah.
And what we do is we let them use the theater for free.
Yeah.
And we charge like $10 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always good.
Kind of helps keep on the lights.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
How much are tickets, by the way, for the shows?
Adults are 18 and kids are 12.
For close-up and or stage?
You know, I think we're going to have a set price for the close-up room, which would be seats are just $15 mm-hmm. per seat. But the big theater, it's 18 and 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the shows or performances, again, are just on weekends only?
Saturday. Now, if you have a party of maybe 25 or more, we'll do it any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it takes five of us to put on the big show, it's my wife, my two sons, my daughters, and my daughter-in-law.
How old are your children?
My youngest is 19. My oldest is 27.
So they don't live back here either?
No, okay. They don't live here.
Just you and your wife. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My daughter, she got a full scholarship at Rice University.
Oh, nice.
So she's going to Rice. Wow,
when you come down to nice. Houston, come see us.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see, you live in Houston?
I do.
Trixie, you live in Houston?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time out here in the Hill Country.
Really?
In Burnett.
Burnett? Oh, okay.
No, Burnett. Durnett.
Burnett?
Yeah.
Durnett.
Yeah. It's not Burnett or Burnet. It's Burnett. Yeah, exactly. Well, good. Well, thank you very much. Title of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. And so my question, I always like to close, is to ask my guests what your favorite magic word is. Not necessarily like abracadabra, but what is your philosophy of life? It may be a phrase. It could be a sentence, whatever.
My philosophy of life is Jesus is Lord.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah.
Good.
That's it.
And live by that. You
yes.
can't go wrong.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Johnny.
All right.
Thanks for being my guest over here. And I hope you guys have enjoyed the tour. Be sure to go to the blog on themagicwordpodcast.com to see some of these pictures. And I'm going to also do a little walkthrough video so you can kind of see some of this stuff then as well. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Johnny Magic. This is Scotty out. Well, I hope you enjoyed that visual tour with your ears. I guess that's what magic is supposed to be. It's something that is created in your mind. And by listening to Johnny Magic take us through his museum and theater, you have a better idea of what that looks like. If you want to actually see the photos and a video tour of the theater and the museum, be sure to go to themagicwordpodcast.com to learn more and to see more. And now it's time to review a few new tricks that are out on the market. The first is called Cash Converter by Richard Griffin. This is kind of a DIY or do-it-yourself type of thing, so I just want to get that out of the way and up front to begin with, that it's something that has the gimmick included along with the DVD, and you have a little bit of work to do in order to make this work. You have to supply your own money and then apply it to the gimmick that is included with this trick. The effect itself is basically a visual change of a borrowed bill. Essentially, you borrow a bill, and this can be any currency and from any country. It doesn't matter whether it's a euro or a yen or whether it's a pound or whatever. It can be any kind of a note, foreign currency, or domestic. And then you make up this gimmick, and essentially, when you borrow the bill, you fold it in half, and then when you run the bill through your fingers, it changes from one denomination to another. And then, in the blink of an eye, when you blow on it or fold the bill, basically, it changes back to the original bill. You hand the person back his bill, and everything is fine. A couple things about this. First of all, that, to me, it's just a little bit fiddly. I went through the explanation on the DVD, and it goes into tremendous detail time and time again, so
The handling is easy to understand. He goes over it meticulously, so there are no details or anything that are left out. Almost to the point where it's kind of, okay, I got the point, let me fast forward a little bit to get to the next part of what you're trying to explain. But beyond that, after you make up the gimmick and you start fiddling with it, there are some handling tips and some fine things that need to make sure that you go back and maybe watch those videos then again, even though that there are a lot of details that are in there. I must have missed it the first time around. Anyhow, the point is that if you after you make this up, that you're going to need to rehearse in the mirror quite a bit and to make sure that you're going to be able to handle it. Some people, speaking of handling, some people's hands may not be large enough, or maybe their fingers are too narrow and they have windows and it's going to be difficult to kind of hide the gimmick. I want to also say that when you're making up this bill, I might recommend that you cut the bill just a little bit wider than what he recommends. You can always trim it down. My problem was I did cut it just to the dimensions he had suggested, and I found that it's just a little bit too narrow for me. If you buy the trick, you'll understand what I'm talking about here in this secret talk. But basically, again, if you purchase this, I would suggest that you cut your bill a little bit wider in order to fit the gimmick, and then you can trim it as necessary before you actually perform it. For me, I think this is an interesting idea. I haven't seen this exact thing before out there on the markets, certainly, so it is a little bit of a newer, different idea. But as for a changing of a bill, there's nothing better than going back to the original Kozlowski method that Roger Klaus and other people have added so many touches on. That's just a basic bill change when you fold it over. Again, this is just folded in half lengthwise and then held vertically. And then whenever you slide your hands through it, then the bill changes, as I said. That's the effect. But again, it is kind of a fiddly thing and would require quite a bit of practice, I think, although it's probably a beginner level, maybe close to intermediate because of the timing and everything that it would take to try to work it. This is not something that's going to go into your repertoire immediately after you have prepared the gimmick. It will take a little bit of fumbling and fiddling, and it is kind of a fun thing. I'm not wild about it, but it's okay. I think this idea is more creative than practical. Although Richard's handling suggests that the bill be held in a vertical position, I believe you can also do it in a horizontal position as you display the bill. Again, it is fairly angly, so that way you're going to have to be very cautious of the angles to your side and behind you. So it's not the best necessarily for a walk around or restaurant situation unless that you are aware of your angles, so this way that it's not going to be exposed. I would say that from the standpoint of working restaurants, this could be a good way of trying to solicit a tip in which that you could borrow a bill, the highest denomination someone has, change it to a one and say, well, we can give this back to you, or boom, we can give this back to you over here, or you can just let me keep it. And that, you wouldn't want to go that far necessarily. That's like begging for money. But I would say, again, that once the money is out on the table, then more than likely they're going to say, just go ahead and keep it. That was a cool trick. So I give it an okay recommendation. And again, that's Cash Converter by Richard Griffin. The next item up for review is produced by Magic Tao, called Diception by Chris Congreve. I have to say this is a pretty interesting and pretty powerful little trick. I had a lot of fun practicing this and showing it to some friends and working it at a restaurant. This actually is a real worker's thing. The problem with this is that you have a deck that you have to carry around with you just to do this one trick. And I'm kind of opposed to having to carry around one thing that only does one thing. So this is not a utility tool necessarily. So it is a gimmick deck which you make up, and he explains. Again, this is another one of these DIY type of tricks that you're going to have to spend a little bit of time, about 10 minutes in preparing. No big deal, but once you have it, you have it. And it's worth it because it really is quite a fooler. And if you're going to be carrying around an extra deck of cards or something like that, I wouldn't say you could go wrong, really, if this is the one that you carry around. It is pretty cool, a good idea. It is a prediction effect. and a card effect. So it's a close-up mentalism, I guess, in a way that's combining the two. The instructions are quite complete, and I thought it was very well done as far as the video. I will say, however, that the quality control is a little bit leaves something to be desired. Let me say that the cards that they include were not the cards that I needed. In other words, you're supposed to eliminate the duplicate cards, and then you find the mates. Anyhow, without getting into too much detail, I'll just say that the cards that I was supplied in the trick that I had opened, there were three cards that I had to eliminate and go and find from my own deck of cards elsewhere. That was just from my junk cards drawer and replace it. Not a big deal, but it's kind of nice if the cards that you needed were all going to be included in here. So they do include a lot of random cards, and it is just that. They're random cards, apparently, that they don't spend a lot of time taking a look to make sure that those random cards that they give you are not including the duplicates that you need to eliminate. I don't want to explain too much, but yeah, I think you kind of get the idea. But it's certainly worth it to pull a few cards from your own junk deck of cards and put this thing together. Again, it's pretty cool. Let me explain the effect. It's essentially that you have three dice. You have the spectators roll them, or you can have three people roll each of one die. Or, as they say in the instructions, I think a clever little idea is that they can use their minds. So you have three people who can say, pretend that you have a die. You roll a die, what have you got? They then come up with a number. It doesn't matter whether you use one, two, or three dice. They roll a number. You then very fairly count down the cards, and this would be an apparently freely shuffled deck, using a little sleight. Anyhow, that you deal off the top of the deck, and to the number they said, let's say it's number 16 or whatever, you just count that down, and the 16th card is you turn it face down. You're showing them one at a time, and they're all different. When you come to the 16th card, you then put that face down. You show all the rest of the cards, of course, all being different. You then fan through the deck, and you have, say I have a prediction written on the back of, let's say, the 10 of spades or whatever. You turn that over, and it's a different color because that you have a blue deck that you've been using, and the card that has your prediction is red back, and it will say you will roll 16, and your card will be, let's say, the 3 of clubs. That card is face down, and when you turn that over, that is the 3 of clubs. So that's the effect. You can also then have the prediction in your pocket. He gives you a couple of ideas how that you can have a prediction that's someplace else and not necessarily coming from the deck. A lot of little clever twists and things. I think that Chris Congreve here has a lot of really good ideas that are included. This, I think, is a worker's tool, certainly, and I would really recommend this one. It's a good one. Again, called Diception by Chris Congreve. Our final review for this podcast is Fabulous by Shufton Magic. Essentially, this is a transposition of one thing to another in which they use key fobs. In other words, you have one key fob that has a red heart on it, and the other key fob that's a duplicate has a black star. You can place these in your spectator's hands. With the snap of the finger, they exchange places. You can also do this in your own hands if you wish. So it is something that is good certainly for a walk around. If you want to do this in someone's hands, which is always great, it's kind of like sponge balls when something happens in their hand as opposed to yours. But also, like whenever I'm working in a hospital and you're not allowed to touch the patients for obvious reasons, you don't want to spread their germs from one room to the other, so you can show it in your own hands and show the transposition from one hand to the other. I do like this idea. Actually, this was one of the first type of tricks that I had learned so many years ago that was from George Schindler's lecture notes. That was a copper-silver transposition, basically, of which a copper and a silver coin, you place them in their hands, you remove one, and then whenever you open your hand, it is now the opposite coin and their coin has changed. In this case, that they can have a key fob in each of their hands, and it transforms or transfers places from one to the other. Again, I like this idea because, again, it happens in their hands, and it is a very powerful type of a trick when it happens like that. It is kind of expensive, in which that it runs about $60 for the effect, and you get everything that you need except a DVD, which is kind of interesting with the way that they teach magic nowadays is through videos and DVDs or online instruction. This is kind kind of the old-fashioned way with a booklet that you have to read and has some pictures. I think that's a good way, certainly that you are more invested with your time in that, and I like that when you're paying attention to the specific details. And it is quite specific, and it's very good and well-written, so I would recommend this. I would also say, by the way, that for the money, that I would have thought that everything would have come with it. And let me say it does. Everything comes with it. However, that you do get two blank keys that you could attach to your key fob, and they recommend that you use your own keys. If you have a couple of keys that look somewhat similar, like your front door and back door key, or maybe two car keys or something like that, or you can take these two blank keys down to a locksmith and have them ground to look like whatever key that you want, and then put those keys onto the key fob. What you could also do, of course, is if you're at the maybe a hardware store or someplace that has where they do make duplicate keys, like a locksmith or wherever, a lot of times they will just have a drawer or a bin which they've thrown a lot of keys in there. Ask if you can go through and look through and find a couple that are similar, and more than likely they're going to give them to you for free anyhow. But my point is that although everything is included in there, the two blank keys look a little bit fishy, I think, if you just would attach them as they are. They need to look like real keys so the fobs look like what they're supposed to be, key fobs, that you can say these are your key fobs that you actually use for your keys. So I would say, again, this is a good trick. It's something that you would have to carry around with you that would be in addition to your cards and coins and whatever else. So when pocket space is at a premium and you're trying to have something that's going to be powerful that you carry around with you, I would say this is pretty powerful. I've used it a few times, and it doesn't take too long to work out the handling of it to make it efficient, and it certainly is a fooler, and it's one of those things that people just kind of stare at you and say, wow. So I would say this is a good one. I would recommend it. And again, that's called Fobulous by Shufton Magic. All of these products and more are available through your favorite Murphy's Magic Supplies dealer, whether you go to an online shop or to the old brick and mortar, which I highly recommend. Of course, I recommend that you take a look at our download store here on the magicwordpodcast.com, where you can order directly from us, and we appreciate your business. Well, that about wraps up this episode of the Magic Word Podcast. Hope that you guys enjoyed this, and as for upcoming episodes, I will soon be attending the Fechter's Finger Flicking Frolic in Batavia, New York, which is outside of Buffalo, New York, towards the end of April, and I'll be posting daily updates from there with subsequent interviews with people who will be posted in the weeks following. And I know that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of great guys who always show up at that, who are good friends and great magicians. And I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing from them, because a lot of them are international performers. That is, they come from other countries. And I know we have listeners from around the world. And I mainly seem to talk mostly with American magicians, but I'm going to try to see if we can bring in a few more international magicians to be guests on the Magic Word Podcast. And I think it'll be a great place here at the 4F convention. And this year, we're going to be featuring the Fat Brothers, who will be the guests of honor at the 4F convention. I want to also remind you that if you are looking to buy some magic tricks, or if there was something that stuck out from the reviews that I posted this week or in previous weeks, or perhaps in future weeks, that you can find those in the download store here on themagicwordpodcast.com. So just go over to the side, click on the tab that says download store, and then you can order that directly from the Magic Word. And we appreciate your patronage. Also, just a quick reminder to be sure to check out the EastCoastMindJam.com and MagicBusinessUniversity.com. Find out what's coming up in late June. So, until next time, stay well, get booked, and be nice to each other. This is Scotty out.